Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. My name is John Davis, and welcome to Charlotte Christian Fellowship Blog Talk Radio. Before we get started tonight, we're going to do things a little different. Flying solo tonight. My brother, Book Alexander, is going to extend his leave. And God willing, we bless him and we pray for him and that he will come back soon with us and be with us and share the word of God with us. But I want to start off tonight with prayer. And so I'm asking the Father to help us tonight. He would, Holy Spirit would just fill me that as I speak, I don't speak for myself or be anxious for anything, but that I speak in accordance to his will, that his will would be done. And that everything that come out of my mouth will give him honor, glory, and praise. And I ask this in Jesus' name. I'm going to open the mics up in a little bit because, again, I'm not the answer man either. We will be having guests visit us and co-host with me in the near future. But tonight I'm just going to give a little preliminary stuff about what's going on as far as what a disciple is. And let me just say it like this. We're going to be talking about this continuous study about studying how to become Jesus' living disciple, JLD. This will happen to be my initials, John L. Davis, but Jesus' living disciple. And what does it mean to be one of his disciples? What actually does that mean? Also, we're going to be talking about what is freedom? What does that really mean, and who is really free? Excuse me for saying that, and who truly is free? Those are the questions you want to ask yourself, because we're talking about freedom, and the freedom we have down here on this earth is different from the freedom that Christ offers us. So the freedom Christ offers us is a freedom that life, not death, from our sinful nature. We can walk the walk that we're talking about here on earth. But that has to begin. And also, another question we'll discuss tonight is what it means to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. First of all, do you know what a soldier is in the army of the Lord? A soldier in the army of the Lord is somebody that's sold out. That means, you know, whatever's going on, that doesn't compare to the Lord. We're sold out to him. That's it. We're living and delivered. We're living and delivered from our sins into ever righteous service. There's the ever righteous service for the Lord. That means ever righteous, not just any type of service, righteous service for the Lord. So we want to discuss those things and you know, just in walking, you know, and finding out how to become and what it means, those type of things. It took 3 years for the men walking with Jesus to understand what that means. They were his disciples because Jesus called them his disciples. But they did not do the work of a disciple until after Jesus had died and was resurrected from the dead, and they received the Holy Spirit. So we have a process. You know, in Romans, and we'll talk about that down the road when we said we confess our sins one to another. You know, we confess our sins to the Lord that we are saved, and that's in Romans 9 and 10, and confess out your mouth and believe in your heart that you're saved. You are saved. But that is infancy. That's just the beginning. You just can't stay babies in Christ. Many of us, the word says we get taken off by the enemy and the things of this world because we're still infants. We go to church and we listen to the pastor, but we don't begin to be doers of the word. In fact, we know a lot of people today that's been teaching Bible study, but how are they living? You know, and that's the whole thing in a nutshell. That's what this is about. Jesus did not teach anything he didn't do, and we shouldn't be teaching anything that we're not doing. So if we can tell somebody the word of God and preach it to them, but are we living it? That's the thing where Paul said, we press towards that mark, Lord, we don't be called hypocrites. And many of us are hypocrites because we like what's called scribes. The scribes know the word of God, but they don't do it. We have to become, first, when we learn the word, okay, we don't teach it back until we do what we learn. And that, and we'll get into that a little bit, but we're talking about actually doing the will of God, just like our brother and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, not my will, but your will be done. What does that mean? So it means that he had a choice. He had a choice. We have a choice. And the choice we have, that, and I'm praying that everybody believes that, that for us, we'll serve the Lord. Okay? And so some don't have to. Some start off serving him, like the seeds that that Jesus talked about, that some fell on the rocky ground, some fell on fertile ground, some the wind, the birds came and ate up, and the wind blew away. But we want to be that fertile seed that falls from, you know, on the fertile ground and take root. And that root by water that can be, the water that feeds that seed so it can grow. And that's the same thing we wanted. We wanted, Jesus told his disciples when they did the miracles, he said, look, now you got to come and drink my blood and eat my flesh. What that blood is talking about is that's the word of God. We're talking about that word that, who he is, a sacrifice. You have to be able to sacrifice now. You have to go that route and be willing to sacrifice all to be his and let him do all for you. And that flesh is that word of God. We have to eat that word. We have to become, let it become part of us. Okay, let's keep on going here, okay? Join us tonight. And others who are on this broadcast now, to share what God is telling us, what God is telling you guys, okay? I'm not the answer person, you know it. And there's many parts of the body. We'll talk about that tonight, too. But in order to join us, you got to call in. I know a lot of people listening, but you want to call in. And the number to call in is 657-838-1624. Again, that's 657-383-1624. We're going to discuss tonight what it actually means, how to become, how to walk this walk out, and how to become a disciple of Christ, what it means to die, what it means to put on your full armor of Christ. What does that mean? People talk it all the time, put on the full armor of Christ and all this stuff, be good at the word, sword, and all that. What does that mean? Many of us talk a good game. Because we know the word. You hear it a lot of times. How you doing, brother or sister? A blessing, highly favored. What does that mean? Is it making it a joke? Or we hear this saying, well, when you're doing something wrong, or even when you got a road, you don't know whether to go right or left. So what would Jesus do? They made that a fad. And that's the true thing we should actually be doing. Before we do anything, we need to ask, what would Jesus do? But because our flesh gets in the way, we don't ask the question, what would Jesus do? We just do it and ask God to bless us. We need to stop that. We have to grow up in the wisdom and knowledge of God, and then we have to become doers of the word. Our human bodies have many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. Again, I'm going to say this to you again. Our bodies have many parts, but it's still on one body, okay? So it is with the body of Christ the same way. Some of us, the body, you have different breeds like Jews and the Old Testament Jews and Gentiles, slaves, and some of us are free. What does that mean? That means the chosen people of God, Jews. Gentiles are everybody else. Then you have the person, but he's talking about slaves. What does that mean? We're talking spiritual terms. Spiritual and also people who are in prison, okay? Some of those people get saved in prison. They don't come out because of the consequences of their actions, but they get saved. So they could be saved. They could be also caught in a country that they're under a dictative rule, which is a slavery rule. But they could still love the Lord. So even if you're in slavery, you could still love the Lord. And the body of Christ is made up of those and some type of free. And the freedom we're talking about is not the freedom that man talks about. We live in the United States because you're free. We're talking about people who are walking with Christ. The people who are free in the United States are not really free. If they're still sinning, that sinful nature has them in bondage. So we're talking about the freedom of Christ. So some this body that God has put together, which is Jesus' body, is made up of Jews, it's made up of Gentiles, it's made up of slaves, and it's made up of free people, people who are pressing towards that mark. And we don't want to judge them yet because God says this, don't judge a thing before its time. Okay? So that's why the body is made up that way. We have been baptized into one body, one spirit, and we all share the same spirit, that spirit of God. And you ever heard say, well, the spirit is returning to God? Well, we are made up of three parts, the body, the soul, and the spirit. The spirit will return home. The war is about our soul. The soul of the sinners will die. Don't say the spirit will sin, say the soul of the spirit that will die. And the flesh that we have, the Bible tells us, flesh and blood will not glory in his presence. And when we do that, if we, you know, we'll get a new body. Now, that new body that we'll get, it doesn't say that new body is going to go to heaven. It says that we'll get a new body. But the thing is, that new body is going to have, that soul is going to have a new body. And whether it goes to heaven or hell, it's going to be up to us now on earth. So remember this. The torment, if we go to hell, that body, we're going to feel that torment because the Bible says, actually, those who are thrown into the lake of fire will be tormented for eternity. So we will receive a new body. That new body is in heaven and serving the Lord. You'll be happy, and when the words happy don't make no sense, we'll be with Jesus. That's beyond happy. That's joy, that's beyond joy, being with Jesus and reigning with him forever. Or be tormented because the Bible says those who are not his will be thrown into the lake of fire along with the devil and those other beings that, you know, the demons and stuff, all of those will be thrown into the lake of fire. That's the second death, by the way. We'll talk about that another time, but tonight we just want y'all to know that what a disciple is, okay, who's free and who's not free, okay? If the foot says to the body, okay, if you're the foot, you say to the body, I am not a hand. Does it mean that any less, any more, does it make it any less important to the body? Just think about if you lose your feet, if you lose your feet, do you think that, don't your body feel that? If you lose your hand, don't your body lose that, you know, feel that? So it's part of the body. We need those things that God created us. But the thing is, a lot of us look at the other one and say, I don't need you. Let's keep on reading here. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am an eye, I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body was one eye, how would we hear? Let me say that again. If the whole body was an eye, how could we hear? Or if the whole body was an ear, and how could it smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Now, remember what we talked about earlier when we talked about Jews and Gentiles and slaves and free people? That's what we're talking about, the body here. So we're talking spiritual body. We're talking human body, okay? So we're talking about now, we're talking about the human body, the things that, you know, the different parts on our own bodies, okay? We're talking about our own flesh and body, but the Bible is talking about it's an analysis of what Jesus' body made like, okay? So there's many parts, and we'll, as we keep on reading, and let me keep on reading for you now. How strange would it be for the body to only have one part? God knew that, so he created our bodies to have many parts, but only one body. So what part of the body that seems weakest and least important are actually the most necessary? Let's think about that. What does it seem like weakest and most necessary? The arch of your feet. The palm of your hand, livers, kidneys, okay? They seem weak because they're not showing outside like your hand and stuff like that, but we're talking about things that you need in order to be complete, And a lot of people don't have those things. When they don't have those things, that's called disabilities, because they don't have normal things. The government actually looked at that and said, well, if you don't have a normal way of life, you have a disability. And they actually give you money for that, because you can't work like a normal person, okay? But the thing is, God looks at it differently. God looks at it and says, well, those parts that are sensitive, at one point the body is missing, the other part should feel it. Let me go on and explain a little bit more. And the parts we regard as less humble, okay, less honorable, are those we clothe with the greatest care. What does that mean? Our sexual parts, women with, you know, cleavage and stuff of that nature, and then, you know, our private parts, stuff like that, we cover those up, because even God, in the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, what did he do? He covered their bodies up, covered their flesh up, because those things need to be, you know, covered. And so, therefore, when we unleash ourselves and to entice, whether it be man doing it for women or women doing it for men, you know, or even man to man or woman to woman, those things entice us. That we know that brings up our sinful nature, the desires of the flesh. And so Lord says this, we're not to do that. Our body's supposed to live and sacrifice for him. But what has happened is God gave us beauty. He gave us strength and muscle-looking things. So instead of us realizing that we don't belong to ourselves, but we belong to the Lord, we use that to entice people for our sexual desires, which is very sinful, y'all. So God put our body together in such that extra honor and care is given to those parts that have less dignity. Let me read that again. God put our bodies together in such that extra honor is given, extra honor and care is given to those parts that have less dignity. And you know for yourself, if someone accidentally, you know, kicks you in your private parts, you know how that hurts? So those are sensitivity parts and stuff like that. So he put those parts together with extra care, okay? And those honor part means we don't use those things to dishonor him. A lot of us believe in that free sex before you get married, that type of stuff like that. And when we are talking about having sex out of marriage, that's not honorable. We're talking about being dishonorable by, you know, cursing. You know, out of our mouths come wickedness and stuff, dishonorable. So God put us together the way he wants us, but he wants our body that he puts together with honor and care. Okay? So just remember, we got parts that are sensitive, we got parts that are unseen, we got parts that are seen. But all of them make up our bodies. And guess what? That's how the body of Christ is made up. Okay? You got some people that we call a little bit, introverts. We got some people who are extroverts like myself. You got some people who are more lackadaisy, you know, or nonchalant. You know, you got some people that are bold. You got some people that that are outgoing. You got many parts of the body of Jesus Christ. But those parts come together to advance God's kingdom. We don't supposed to look at one and say, well, he's too aggressive, he's too loud. Well, somewhere on the mountain, Jesus was very loud. How are you going to talk to 5,000 people? And that's how it says approximately was there, 5,000 people, and he was talking quiet. So loudness for the Lord ain't bad, okay? Bogginess and loudness is bad. But so we do know there's a time for that too. You have people who do speak loud sometimes, like myself, for the Lord, and there's nothing wrong with it. It is wrong when we do something boggling, you know, with our voices or anything else that is not pleasing but pleases the sinful nature. So, like I said, you can use it for the Lord, what God has given us, or you can use it for your own self-satisfaction, our own self-satisfaction, and use it and go to hell. Simple as that. All of us together make a Christ body. And each of us is a part of it. Here are some parts of God's appointments for the body of Christ, for the church was the body of Christ. Okay, the first one was apostles. The second is what's called prophets. Third is got teachers. And those and fourth is those who do miracles. And those who fifth is those who have the gift of healing. And then another one is those who can help others. Now, people don't want that one too much. And another one is those who have the gift of leadership, and also those who speak in unknown tongues. Let me go over those a little bit with you, because you got to understand what he's saying here. The first one is apostles. We know apostles. Apostles are those who go and build churches, okay, go and start churches and move on, raise up disciples, people to be preachers and teachers of the word of God, and then they go different places to continue to do that. That's an apostle, okay? Then the prophets, when you see somebody prophesied, there's many prophets, okay? But how do you know it's a real prophet? That you want to weigh what he says with the word. Is he prophesying with the word of God saying what's going to happen? Because it has been according to the word of God. You also have false prophets out here, okay? So, and everybody who says they're a prophet ain't a prophet. We'll get to that in a little bit later. Okay, and then you have teachers. You got teachers teaching the word of God, which is the good news, but then you got these teachers out of today teaching this false gospel. The false gospel is saying, well, man can marry man. That's part of the false gospel. Man can marry man, women can marry women, and also this money coming to me, and Lord, I bless you if you give. False gospel, y'all. False gospel. Name one time when Jesus talked to any of that type of stuff. Any of them. Give me money. I mean, if you want something, we're supposed to go to the Lord. The Lord's the one who provides. He said, I'm your provider. But yet we don't go to him for anything because we don't believe he exists. So we can't. And then when we do ask, most of the time, we ask, well, if he don't do this, I'll try this. We got that F in the butt when we talk to the Lord. But because we don't trust and believe in him, who he is, we're sinning. It is sin to know the right to do and don't do it. I want y'all to know that too. We're not, this discipleship, walking, learning who he is and getting into how to become a disciple and what does it mean, it's not an easy thing. That's why I said before you get into this, you got to weigh this cost, because this costs you everything. The word of God says it's sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting all the way down to the soul and the bone marrow. Therefore, that means it gets into your business. The word of God gets into your business. And as a disciple of Christ, he wants to get into every part of your business. Whatever part you say that he can't come in, then you're saying that, Lord, you're not enough to handle my whole situation. I got to do the rest. Or you're holding back because you've got your flesh desires that you want to get with somebody. And you say, well, Lord, bless this. Well, you think you got to make it happen for God. So these things right here tell you that you're not really a full disciple. But you, and if you're not a full disciple, then you're a hypocrite. Because we're teaching something we're not doing. So these are the things that we need to bring out. What the soldier? Soldier and the army of the Lord obeys orders. The orders of who? Those who recruit us. Who recruited us? Jesus did. So he's our leader, commanding leader. But do we listen to our commanding leader, or do we not? And if you don't listen to our commanding leader, then what are we doing? We are basically AWOL. And the same thing, and also it is spiritual adultery because we're married to Christ also. So I want y'all to know that there's things that when we do things, there's consequences. And God hates divorce. And what we're doing is divorcing him when we say, well, Lord, this part of my life you can't come into. That's spiritual adultery because we already read that there's many parts of the body and we're in that body. So we choose not to obey our body. Like your hand slapping you around. It sounds stupid, don't it? Well, that's what we're saying we're doing when we say we're not going to obey God. So, we are not apostles. Now, let me say this to you. This is real cool, too. I want to finish this thing before I go any further. The teacher, we talked about teachers and those who do miracles. In the end days, God told us that there are going to be many miracles that we're going to see. But I'm going to tell you something, too. The devil, just like the days of Egypt, the devil knows how to do a lot of things just like the children of God do. So weigh those things. If it costs you something, your own self, besides to the Lord, the remembrance and the detachment to it. That miracle comes from God as it comes from the devil. This is a perfect example. You see a person, you say, that's my husband, that's my wife, I'm going to get that, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to put this money and this number, and that's going to be money going to come in the way it comes. That's a miracle. No, it's not. No, it's not. We have to realize the difference and take time, and God does things in his timing. The miracles that are done, I'm not saying they're not being done, but the miracles are done, God will reveal himself to you. When there's no way out, God provides for you. Those are miracles. And God uses people and things to do what he wants to do to accomplish things in our life where we can testify about his goodness. Another thing is the gift of healing. People will say they have the gift of healing. There's COVID-19 out there, y'all. The people who got the gift of healing, I don't have it. But those who do, and they say to come from the Lord, go heal these people, y'all. What you waiting on? You got many people in hospitals dying all the time. Why aren't you healing the people? Or are you trying to get money for your gift? Or are you ashamed of what God has given you? Or are you going to give it to some people? See, the gift of healing is for the body of Christ. It's supposed to be recognized as that, and not to be used for self-gratification or putting yourself on a pedestal. God is not an Indian giver, what they want to call an Indian giver. God don't give and take away. God will give it to you, but he'll shut that gift down for it's not able to be used either, okay? You'll still have it, but it won't be no effect. And then this is one I know people don't like, the gift of helping people. What does that mean? God pours finance into a lot of people. And a lot of times the finances, we think for us to build up our families and stuff like that for our own personal use, and we get that money, we move to the countryside or something like that. But God is saying that's the gift of help. When you see a need, he didn't tell you to give everybody. That's when discernment comes in. Discernment comes in when he put those people in your lives. But discernment means then that, and be wise, because God tells you about this. You can give, but when you give, make sure you give it to encourage, not to hurt a person. A junkie, I was a drug addict for many years. When people give me some money or something like that, I go buy drugs. That wasn't right for somebody to give me money because I didn't know anybody and people thought it was helping me. They were really hurting me. And we're hurting people that we give people money to do drugs or help them out of a drug deal. We're hurting them. When you're helping somebody, it's like, and God tells a lot of people that children and widows, okay? First of all, they should go to the family. The family should, those the body of Christ is the family body. Christ, those are the ones we're talking about. Because a lot of times your flesh and blood won't help you. They go the other way. But the body of Christ, when they find somebody in need, they're supposed to help them. And when you help them, though, don't just give them the meat. Teach them how to. The teacher said, I'm going to teach you how to fish. That's what people teach them how to help them out. But they have to keep coming back. And whenever you give them to someone, don't expect them back, because we get back to back. Even the people in the world do that. We're giving to them unto God, because God gave us to give to them. God's not going to tell you to give you all unless he tells you that. When he does that, he'll provide it. Now, God has done that in the past. It's not a sermon I like to try to preach on, but back in the day, back in the Old Testament, he talked about this widow, Elijah, who went to this widow and said, well, go cook us a piece of bread, and the dough would never run out. The oil was gone out, and it didn't happen. You don't hear about it nowhere else. So that's not something I want to preach as a one-time thing, but I'm telling you, he does do that. God is able like that. And another one, a gift of leadership, that's another one you got to be watching for, because the gift of leadership means you got power over people. The Bible, I'll tell you, absolute power creates it corrupts a man. Saul was nobody, got power. Look what happened to him. He turned on Jesus. Saul turned on God because he had power. He actually turned. God removed the spirit from him and gave him an evil spirit. Okay? That's not the only one that happened to. It sure ain't. You have many cases where the Israelite people, all of those people came out of Egypt, turned on God. Everyone died but three of them. Okay, we'll talk about that another time, But when we're talking about they left Egypt, okay, and then only three of them went into the promised land, Joshua, Caleb, and I forget those two. But the thing is, what I'm getting to is this. Even Moses didn't go old. Because why? Because he also did obey God's word. Look at Solomon. Solomon was a man, the wisest man that God ever said he created. He didn't go to heaven. He let other gods come in there and say, well, I'm trying to keep the peace. He wasn't the only one. Many of them did that same thing. And we're doing the same thing today. That leadership thing today creates a problem thing because we think we got power over people. And leadership, if you want to be a leader, that's who we are. We're servants. That's who we are, y'all. The leader is the greatest servant. Christ said, if you want to be a leader, then you got to be a servant. That's who he was. We're going to be like Christ. He said he didn't come to leave. He came to serve. And then speaking in unknown tongues, unknown language. Whenever we're speaking out in the open with people, talk about speaking in tongues and stuff like that, there should be somebody there to interpret it. Because say this, the Bible just said, can understand unknown language. Okay, so if we're speaking in tongues in public, then someone should be there to interpret it. If you don't have anybody to interpret it, then don't speak in unknown tongues. Speak with yourself, because our spirit don't make us do unknown things, okay? Don't control us to speak in tongues. We can control that. So don't act like you can't control it when you go to speak in tongues. Yes, you can. It's a choice you have. But when you speak in tongues by yourself, it's a different thing. But if you're in a crowd of people and you're trying to get the word of God across to them, and everybody speaks English, how then could you understand when you're speaking in tongues? It's like a person coming from, say, Africa or something like that, or Mexico, and we're speaking English, and they never heard English, and we're speaking English. That's a foreign language to them. How do we explain it to them? How are we talking to them? You see? So therefore, we got to speak in the tongue that God gave us. And then God will then, we can communicate like that. But when we're talking to them, when we're speaking in an unknown tongue, make sure that you have someone openly, I'm saying, make sure there's someone that can interpret what you're saying. If there isn't anybody that can interpret what you're saying, don't speak it. Pray in English so people can understand. So the bottom line is this. All of us are not apostles. We can't all make churches, build churches. And all of us are not prophets. We can prophesy, but don't make us all prophets. We're not all teachers. Watch if you want to be a teacher, because the blood is on your hand. The blood is on our hands. Like myself, is sharing the word of God. I should be sharing what he says, not what I want, but the word of God. So the blood is on your hand when you want to be a teacher. Also, we don't all have the power to do miracles. So stop acting like we're a miracle worker when we're not. Okay? And when you give somebody something that's a miracle, give God's glory. We don't all have the power, the gift of healing either. So stop saying that you put your hand on people. Like some people say, well, the leg is uneven, and they put the person up and it's move the leg a little bit and the foot looks like even. That's lying, y'all. Come on. Stop being fooled by the fool idea. This false gospel been talking all this dumb stuff. We've got people doing that, and this healing thing. I forget the guy's name. I don't want to know his name either, but you got a lot of people talking about this healing ministry. Don't be fooled, y'all. As it's really healing ministry, God will get the glory, not man, okay? And we don't all have the ability to speak in unknown tongues either, so stop that. That is something that comes as we grow in wisdom and knowledge of God, okay? And we don't have the ability to interpret an unknown tongue. So we don't. Somebody talking an unknown tongue, if you don't know what they're saying, in the spirit, man, stop acting like you do. Stop that. Well, he said that. That's what he meant. And the person says, yeah, that's what I meant. No. The witness is a witness. The Holy Spirit will witness it, okay? So we want to make sure that we begin to know what a disciple is, that we're walking in truth and honesty, that God will get the glory. Because if he doesn't get the glory, our God is a jealous God. I'm going to tell you that right now. Don't think for 1 second that you're going to get away with anything. So God is going to work that out. Since the election and the pandemic has started, some of us who confess that we only follow Jesus and saying we are Democrats or Republicans, knowing God is a jealous God. Let me say it again. Since this election and pandemic started, some of us who confess that we are only following Jesus are saying that we are Democrats or Republicans, knowing that God is a jealous God. In other words, we're giving up our salvation to follow a man or a political party. Christ has not been divided, so he's not Republican or Democrat. And he's neither one of those, and neither one of them was crucified for us. That one party, not one person was crucified for us on earth, but Jesus. Let me say that again. Nobody was crucified for us but Jesus. In the old days, Paul said the same thing. He wasn't crucified for people, neither was Peter. So they all tell you who crucified for us, his name is Jesus. Since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching, the good news about Jesus, to save other believers. Let me read that again, everybody. Since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he used our foolish preaching of the good news about Jesus to save other believers. What I'm simply saying is this, y'all. There's a lot of teaching and preaching going on out there, but a lot of preaching teaching going on out there has attachments to it, like money cometh and, you know, and buy this and you get that. Well, the teaching of Jesus is simply the word of God. He teaches us who he is and how to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of him so that we can then become doers of the word. Remember, two of the things God hates is a false witness who pours out lies and a person who sows discord in the family, in his family. And we are his family. We who are called by God's salvation know that Jesus is powerful in wisdom of God. Let me say that again to y'all. We who are called by God's salvation know that Jesus is the power and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisdom of humans, of the human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, few of us were wise in the world's eyes. We'll read it again. Remember, few of us were wise in the world's eyes, powerful or wealthy, when God called us. Instead, God chose us My wife's gonna help me read a little bit right here. Sorry, right there.
Remember, few of us were wise in the world's eyes, powerful or wealthy, when God called us. Instead, God chose us who the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think that they are wise. And he chose us who were powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose us despised by the world, counted as nothing at all, and is using us to bring to nothing what the world considers important. God did it using us so that we can't boast about anything. God united us with Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Jesus made us right with God. He made us pure and holy. He freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scripture says, if we want to boast, boast only about the Lord.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
A little bit more here. Oh, okay. What we just heard, y'all, is about the Lord. So we know what's going on. We understand that what the world calls is so important that God calls foolishness. We have to decide who we're going to serve. And it's not man. It's not Democrats or Republicans. These things are happening today, and they're going to continue to happen. And these things that are happening, we're talking about wars and rumors of wars. There's a threat today, whoever gets elected, there's going to be riots and stuff like that. Brothers and sisters, the body of Christ should not be involved in that. God appoints. God puts people inside a position. If we got a problem with our leaders, we got to remember what the Bible says, pray for them. He changes the hearts of the leaders. In this case, it's presidents, congressmen, and mayors, teachers, parents. He changed the hearts of the leaders. So if we have a problem with what's going on, we're not to be like the world. How can the world tell different between us and them if we act like them? Instead of we changing them to be like Christ, like us to follow Christ, we're following them and going away from Christ and causing destruction. Bless you. And God has said this. Anyone that destroys his temple, which we are that temple, he will destroy. We are his holy temple. And his holy temple, we are to, we just read about the different parts of the body. So we are to honor that what God has given us. We are to use it to advance his kingdom. God has told us in his word that he wants a living sacrifice. So how can we serve two masters if we're serving, going out there and vandalizing, encouraging our young ones to vandalize, I want to speak up for yourself, instead of telling them to pray? We don't teach prayer. We teach you need to have a voice. And the voice that's been heard does not give God any glory. When will we begin to become doers of the word? And that's the difference of a disciple versus someone who's just a babe Christian and a Christian, a person that knows the word of God. Yeah, many people that know the word of God. If God sends you out there to evangelize, he doesn't send you to tear up stuff. He's never sent anybody. Well, Jesus, and I know the scripture you're going to use, but Jesus went into the synagogue and overturned tables. Well, then when you get to be like Christ, then go in the synagogue and tear up tables. But if you're not walking it out like Christ was walking it out, then don't tear up nobody's thing. Don't turn over no tables, not one. Not until you say you sin no more. Brothers and sisters, this world, as we know it, is going to pass away. Whatever you think you can hold on to, you're deceiving yourself. Even our bodies, that's what Christ even said. If you love anybody more than him, the mother, father, even yourself is not worthy. Everything down here is going to pass away, everything, including this flesh. We're going to get new bodies. And as we talked before about the new bodies and stuff, one day we're going to stand before the Lord. And the Lord says, every knee shall bow. Whenever we get before the Lord, the book's going to be open. And whatever we have done and said, if it's in our secret life, said, will be revealed. When it's revealed, what will happen? What's going to come out? Are you too late? Then you're before the Lord. We ask for grace and mercy. God has given us a path to take. The path is to follow Christ. When we say follow Christ, the first thing people say, well, he was beaten. Yes, he was. He was spit on. Yes, he was. He was despised. Yes, he was. He was lied upon. Yes, he was. Then they killed him. Yes, they did. God is not asking us to do that. But in case it does happen, it happens. He says it's good to suffer for Christ, for doing something for the Lord. But it's bad to suffer if you did something wrong. Okay? And that walked up with Christ did. He's not asking us to do the same thing. The cross that he talked about, you have everybody to bear the cross, means that the sacrifice. We cannot do our own will. Our will versus God's will. That's the cross. And the thing is, a lot of us suffer and torment because we want to do what we're going to do is to what God wants us to do. And God frustrates our plans. Many of us, we wonder what happened. But we know that we're seeking our own glory, our own, you know, self-satisfaction. We know we was trying to do things out of God's will. We do it all the time, you know. Sometimes it starts off in our mind a thought, then we end up doing it. It's different between murder and killing people. You know, killing people, you can see somebody just shoot them, but murder is under this plan, premeditated. And most of us do our sin premeditated. That's why the Lord has to tell us about sin and stuff and to run from it, you know, the different types of sins and, you know, confess our sins. Something else I was talking with the Lord today when I was talking about, well, the people in the past that I've sinned against. Well, you got some religions out here that talk about, well, go confess your sins to, you know, to the church leader. Excuse me. Go confess your sins to a man, and then you know, go to him. But the Lord says we don't have to do it anymore. We don't have to go to a man. We can go direct to the Lord. If I sinned against you, then I have to ask forgiveness. And you know, if I sinned against you, but if the person's not there, then we want to go to God because God is the forgiver. Okay, and even if the person then, and the person will have to forgive you, you confess, but he don't have to forgive you. God is the forgiver. That's what we go to. But there's a lot of things that we want to teach and talk about during these times as we move forward and finding out what exactly is. And it's critical that we get a good, strong foundation, and that's what we're doing tonight. Mrs. Davis, the lines are open for anyone to call in. Again, to call in to participate. And I forgot to tell everybody earlier. My wife has the broadcast every Tuesday, and it's called Life's Uncertain Journey. And that's Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And to join her, it's 929-477-3427. And that's every Tuesday, Life's Uncertain Journey. We're into that today. What we're talking about is a new beginning, but it's a Life's Uncertain Journey. So, again, call in and talk with us and share what the Lord is telling you guys. And would you like to say anything, Mr. Davis?
Yeah, I just wanted to make certain that there was a little bit of clarity.
Okay.
Because you're absolutely right. God does not set in place for us to have to depend on going before men for our salvation and all. But he does, as we grow and become members of the body of Christ, he tells us that he wants us to have a love for one another.
Amen.
And care for one another. And in James 5:16, he gives you a remedy or a prescription for healing. And it's called confession.
Amen.
He says, confess your sins to one another so that you can be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because as long as we keep things hidden in the dark, condemnation will creep you.
Yes.
It's only when it's out in the light, the devil ain't got nothing to pick at you with.
Amen.
Because it's in the open.
Mm-hmm.
So God wants us to be open and transparent with one another. We don't have to hide.
Amen.
You know, and listen, God knows we're going to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
He already knows. He's been trying to convince us of that. We have this stupid notion that we can do everything right. That's what happened to Israel. The Lord getting the Ten Commandments, oh, we can do that.
Hmm.
Not realizing, God said, no, you can't. You can't keep all 10 of them. You know? So what do? We put ourselves at the mercy of God.
Amen.
He loves us. And so what we do when we trust him, he not only protects us and puts us in Christ,
mm-hmm.
but he covers us.
Yes, he does.
He covers us on our journey. so that we can be real and genuine with people. No more facades and fake, you know, because you know how do people say real recognize real?
Yeah.
And fake recognize fake.
Yeah.
And so God doesn't want us to be that way. That's not who we are. We're genuine, born again, children of the Most High God, transformed, made into his image, royal priesthood, holy nation. I mean, I could go on and on when we identify ourselves, but God is transforming us and making us into the image of his son. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And anybody else feel free to call in because this is not a John Davis show. That was Mrs. Davis who shared the word of God. Remember, everybody, the two things, we're going to get down to it one day. We'll talk about those in Proverbs 6:19, the things that God hates. But I'm just going to mention two of them. There's seven of them all together. I'm just going to mention two of them. And this is what's tearing up the body of Christ. It says a false witness who pours out lies. What does that mean? Are people that's, you know, not teaching the word of God, truth, the good news. That is preaching the different things that's not in scripture based. They're saying things like, I could say, like the money cometh thing, or if you don't go to church, you ain't going to be saved, you know, or this thing, but God will forgive you if we got to bless that mess. It's lies. It's simply lies. And the other one, those who sow discord in the body of Christ. There's many people today that we choose it over the word of God. We're actually choosing to believe men over the word of God. And that's on discord. I mean, my friendship with you is more important than obeying what the word of God says. That's discord, y'all. There's many people that have like small groups, stuff like that. And instead of preaching or teaching or studying the word together so everybody can grow together, you have that I thing going on. This is how we do it. This is how I. Anytime you watch out for the eyes, those eyes have pride attached to them. And so we want to say, well, let's find out what Jesus did. What did Jesus do in this situation? And believe me, when people say they ain't in the Bible, that means they ain't studying. There's nothing new under the sun. That's the Lord of Ecclesiastes says that. So as we begin to walk this out, I tell you guys, as we begin to grow, and we're going to have other visitors that come on and share the word of God with us. I'm not a good reader, so you're going to find me stumbling a lot reading. But I'll be studying more if I can speak more plainly, because speaking plainly is what I like doing instead of reading. As I said, the word is a lot of talking. Like first, I can just talk to you. That's how I want to be with us, where we can talk to each other on this broadcast. So I hope everybody got an understanding of what the Lord shared with us tonight. I'm praying that y'all come back and be with me next week. And please call in next week. I'm going to talk to our elder and see if he can come on with us in the next couple of weeks and share the word of God a little bit. And some other brothers from Walker with that they can come on and share the word of God. But one thing about it, I just want y'all to know, there's no eyes. We just found there's many parts of the body. There are many parts of Jesus' body. And there are many gifts that he's given us. And those gifts are operational. The thing is, we don't all have them all. Only Jesus has them all. So tonight I want to say thank you, everybody. I want to ask everybody that God would bless us and keep us safe from hurt, harm, and danger, that he would bless your homes and give you the courage and give you the desire to search his word out, as he said in the Psalms, as the deer pants for the water, that we would want that word even more and more, that we would desire to have him lead our lives and us to be transparent and to connect to other brothers and sisters who walk in that walk and encourage one another. That he would go with us, before us, with his consuming fire, destroying his enemies and blessing ours, and teach us how to be obedient to his word. Lord, help us not to try to eat too much of your word at one time, but be able to eat a piece and understand that. But we go forward in reading, that we get that oath, that we understand before we read anything. Let's first get the parts you've given us, go over it again until we first understand it before we go further. And that you would get all the honor, the glory, and the praise out of everything that we do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good night, everybody. Be blessed.